We continue in our series in the book of Revelation. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible. If you're at home, I invite you to turn your Bible at home to Revelation chapter 6. If you're here with us this morning, turn in the scripture and leave it open as usual as I'll reference some verses throughout this message this morning. It's not a very long reading. It's just a few verses, 9 through 11. And so it's the fifth seal. And so the fifth seal opened is the title this morning, and we're going to learn about the martyrs that are under the altar and what's going on here with this. And so let's just get right into it and follow along as I read to you scripture this morning. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. The reading of the word of the Lord. So I encourage you, just keep your Bible open, and we'll reference some of those verses as we go through this message this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your Spirit to bring this word to life. Lord, may these words that I prepared be your words and not mine. I pray you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this message to your people. And I pray for your people this morning, the church, wherever they are, that you bring your Spirit and you just open their lives to receive your teaching today. Open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your word. In Jesus we pray, amen. I'm going to tell you a true story this morning about the 40 martyrs of Sebastus. These 40 soldiers, all Christians, were members of the famed 12th Legion of Rome's Imperial Army. One day their captain told them that the emperor had sent out an edict that all soldiers were to offer sacrifice to the pagan gods. It was required of them. And so these Christians replied, as you can see on the screen this morning, "You can have our armor and even our bodies, but our heart's allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ. You'll never get that." It was midwinter, AD 320. And the captain had them marched onto a nearby frozen lake. He stripped them of their clothes and said they would either die or renounce Christ. Throughout the night, these men huddled together singing their song, "40 Martyrs for Christ." One by one, the temperature took its toll and they fell to the ice. At last, there was one man left. He lost courage and he stumbled to the shore where he renounced Christ. And the officer of these guards had been watching all this. Unknown to others, he had secretly come to believe in Jesus. When he saw this last man break rank, he walked out onto the ice, threw off his clothes, and confessed that he also was a Christian. And when the sun rose that next morning, there were 40 bodies of soldiers who had fought to the death for Jesus Christ. A great story of martyrs who stood strong for Jesus. When Jesus Christ breaks the fifth seal, the souls of the martyrs of the world are seen under the altar of God. And by the way, this is in heaven, just like we've been speaking of here for the last several weeks. It could be a picture of all those who have died for the Lord Jesus Christ through the ages. It's possible that this could be the picture of all these martyrs under the altar. But this particular reference in Scripture today is probably to the martyrs of the end time. And we'll learn more about this here in the coming weeks. The reason that we suspect this is that they cry out for justice against those who killed them, and that judgment falls in the sixth seal, which would be next week's Sunday's lesson. It'll start to make more sense of why these are the martyrs through the end times. We'll learn more about that next week. But Revelation 6 verse 9 says, slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. So John and the heavenly hosts, they see the souls of these martyrs. Where are these martyrs? They're under the altar. Right? We just read that this morning. That's pretty easy to understand. But we need to digress just a little bit this morning. You remember when we went through the book of Leviticus and the tabernacle and the way the altar was set up and you came into the entrance of the tent of meeting and all the ceremonial things that had to happen? How precious the blood was and those types of things. And so we have a picture of the perfect altar in heaven. And there's been a lot of bloodshed here on earth in the name of Jesus Christ that is before that altar in heaven through these martyrs. Their faithful witness in Jesus. They went to the death. So that's the picture here. The lives of their martyrs, their blood has been sacrificed and poured out for God. The martyrs have offered up their lives for God. So in heaven, the martyrs have a very special place before God. They stand at the foot of the altar. They are near God. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Quite a sight if we start to put it in our minds. And I don't think this has fully happened yet because we're not near those end times, I don't believe yet. Now, that day is still to come. But there is a strong lesson for us here this morning in this passage as believers in Christ. For you and I, that we get to learn or that we get to know about. That lesson is that God has a very special place for those who are faithful unto death in our lives. It's a place that's close and dear to His heart and His throne. Now, this alone, I think, should be exciting for you and I, that God just loves us so much that when we love Him back and we're faithful in our journey with Him, that He wants us to be near Him. A loving God, a mighty God, a powerful God, one who created the universe. And we get to be near, next to Him, in heaven, for our belief in Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 25, and that verse is on the screen as well. See, this makes more sense when we start to read these other verses as well. When Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. It speaks of the rewards in heaven of living a Christian life here on earth. That's what that speaks of. Not our ways, but His ways. In verse 9, we see that they are slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. Two things here that speak of why they were slain or why they became martyrs. So let's unpack that a little bit and let's learn about that. What does it mean when we read they were slain for the word of God? What could that possibly mean? And how does that speak to you and I this morning? And here's what it means. In the last days of human history, whenever that's going to be, some people will still love Christ and still believe the scriptures. God's church will never be snuffed out on earth. It might be hard to find some days, but God says, my church will never leave. My believers will always be on earth. Till the end, there will be believers here. They will love the word of God. They will believe it. They will live by it. They will study it. They will teach it, they will preach it, and they will pray over it. The Word of God. It will be powerful right to the end of the return of Jesus Christ. And because of this, the world will reject and even kill the followers of God, especially those who love His Word. That's what will happen. And then you might ask, why? Why would that be? And last week we talked about the Antichrist. In the end time under the Antichrist, the people of the world will be required to give their first loyalty to the Antichrist or the government, whatever that might look like, much like those men in the Roman Empire, those soldiers who could have lived if they would have denounced Jesus Christ. Even the possibility exists that we could fall under one world government or even one world religion someday. But believers in Jesus Christ can only give their loyalty to Him. So believers, in the end, will be martyred for their faith, for their belief in Jesus Christ. They will be killed because they cannot deny the Word of God. And I hope that you and I fall into that category. Now, it's not a very pleasant thought, and it's not a very hopeful situation when you think about you might have to go through this, or your kids or your grandkids could face this someday, whatever that generation looks like. But know that God is with us. And I truly believe through His Holy Spirit that God will sustain people and He'll walk with them through that fire to the end, to the entrance of heaven someday. That is something that we should not fear. But know that the power of Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit will be upon you and I. It will give us the strength to stand those types of days in our lives. And here's the main point. In the end time, all this rejection of God will be intensified. It will become evident. You will know it. And the point is that the world in the end time will reject God's word. They will want nothing to do with it. They'll want nothing to do with you as a Christian. They will hate you because of your belief in Jesus Christ. The world will exalt itself as God. The second thing that was said to believers is that they'll be slain for the testimony they had maintained concerning Jesus Christ. The martyrs believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, but the world's going to reject that, just like I told you. In the end time, the world's rejection of Christ will be intensified so much that they'll kill all those who proclaim Christ to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So the believers of the end time will be martyred because they refused to deny Christ. Now here's something interesting I want to talk to you about this morning, and I need to give credit to my wife, and she doesn't like this when I do this, but Dory and I were having this conversation this past week, and so when you listen to mainstream media news or you watch TV, sometimes in crisis situations, they'll always talk about God. But let me ask you this question. When's the last time you've heard of somebody on TV or in media talk about Jesus? You don't hear that anymore, do you? Pay attention to that. People will talk about God, the Creator, the All-Powerful One, whatever that might look like and whatever religion that could be in, but you never hear people speak of Jesus Christ anymore. Coincidence? I don't think so. You see, the world doesn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Pay attention to that. In the world that you and I live in. Verse 10, Revelation 6. These martyrs, they cry out for justice. They called out in a loud voice, "How long? How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" They address God as a sovereign Lord, one that's holy and true. Remember the word holy, set apart? We learned about that in the book of Leviticus. He's pure, without sin, without fault, perfect. They address Him as that. They understand Him as that. He is set apart. He is holy. And the martyrs, they want all this sin, this evil erased so that God will not be disobeyed anymore to an unholy and living world that they live in. And so there's a couple things that I found quite interesting, that they must be able to see what's going on earth. When they cry out, "How long? How long is this crap and this crud going to go on, God? It's terrible down here. Look at the sin. They disobey you. They do everything they shouldn't do." They want it to end. They see their mighty God and they see the things that are happening on earth and they want it to be over. They don't like what they see. And they cry out, "How long? How long?" And God is true to His word. So let me ask you a question this morning in your personal life as you relate this. Have you ever been in a situation where you cry out, "How long? How long? I want this to be over." There are people in our congregation that aren't in healthy situations right now, and I'm sure they're thinking, "How long? How long, God?" And maybe you're at home or you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking the same thing. And then God said to the martyrs, "Be patient. The time has not yet come to avenge your blood. But it will, until we reach that full number." And we'll get down the road, that number of that 144,000, it's a couple weeks out. And that'll bring more understanding to you of what God says till the number's complete, to all the believers on earth have been prophesied to, and the word of God has gone out to those who will be saved, is what that speaks of. But you can relate to some things in your life today of how long, God? And God says, "Be patient. Be patient. God is sovereign. And He's in control of everything that goes on in this world." Note, and you might not get this as you read, that their cry is not one of vengeance against humanity upon earth when they see this. How long, Lord? Because they love them. Those martyrs that are under the altar, they love for them. They long for them to be saved. They long for them to know who Jesus Christ is and to have salvation. And so their cry is a cry for vindication of the Word of God. And they cry out to God for Him to do many things, and here are just a few. They cry for Him to stop the injustice against His Word and against His Son. They cry out to stop the injustice against His glory. They cry out to stop the injustice of sin and evil against a mighty God. They cry out to stop the injustice of unrighteousness and to bring righteousness back to the universe, to a worldly order once again. And so they're actually praying for God's kingdom to come upon earth. Now let me ask you a question. Where else do you pray for God's kingdom to come? What prayer is that we know so well? "Thy kingdom come." The Lord's Prayer, that's exactly what Jesus taught His people on earth. And here, the martyrs are saying, "God, may Thy kingdom come." Wow. Think about that in your life. They wanted these days to end. They prayed, "Lord, Thy kingdom come. Lord, let this be over." The martyrs, above all others, knew how terrible sin insulted our Heavenly Father. And that's why God says to us, "Flee sin. Get away from it. It'll destroy you. It'll drive a wedge between me and you." The martyrs understood this. They got it. I hope that you and I understand that in our lives, because if you look at some Old Testament scripture, there's a ton of them, but I can't share them all with you today. There's one on the screen, Psalm 94, verse 3 and 4. So even in Old Testament, it was called out, "How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant?" And of course, we know today that they will be jubilant until the number of the martyrs, the numbers of the saved, will be collected and brought on earth. That complete number that is spoken of further down the road in the book of Revelation. Jump with me to verse 11. We see the slain martyrs are given white robes. And we know that the white stands for purity and righteousness. You've learned that already. But believers are made pure and righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ when they enter into the presence of God the Father in heaven. Right? These martyrs are wearing these robes. all believers upon the earth will one day wear a white robe before God. Now, this is a symbol. Now, you're not going to be up there in a bathrobe and your slippers, whatever it might be. But what it is a symbol that you've been washed clean before God through Jesus Christ. You've entered into the presence of heaven with all other believers. Those loved ones that have gone on before you, they've already got their white robes. They're washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. These martyrs, they're resting in the perfection of a new life. Even in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they're there today. And there'll be many more that will join that number in the end times. And so they're assured of justice, that this will play out. Notice what the Lord tells these martyrs. It will still be a little while before the end of the world comes. So it's not a question of if it will come. It is a question of when it will come. And none of us know that. And don't worry about that. But it will come. And that day will come when Jesus Christ has been proclaimed enough to the entire world. When that mark is met. When the number of those who accept Jesus will be complete, then the end will come. And so you see, where we're living at today, we're waiting. We're waiting for the number of those who to be saved to be completed. And so there's a challenge for us in the midst of this when you wait. And so you're called to be on fire for God and to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world. Tell your loved one, tell your neighbors, tell your co-workers. But here's the point. You and I have been through some rough days, but know that there are even be rougher days potentially coming. The Bible talks about that. It's part of the life we live in. Not all days are going to be filled with roses, but you shouldn't be afraid. But we must be willing to witness. We must be willing to share. And here's the key that I want you to understand in by all means, I still struggle with this too, because it's hard. But if it came down to it, are you willing to die for Jesus? All the way to the end. Are you willing to go that far? A good question to go home with today, to wrestle with. Where's my faith? I mean, those are tough things. And I believe that the Lord will give you the power through the Holy Spirit that comes to that. But that's a big question, isn't it? Will I go to the death for my Savior, Jesus Christ? And I hope that all of us at some point in our faith journey and in our faith walk will say, yes, I can. I can do it. I am powered by the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. I shared with you the story, the true story of these 40 men on a frozen lake who died for Christ. They knew that Christ had the power to save them eternally. They understood that. They knew where they were going. They had confidence in that. And so here's the take home I want you to understand this morning. Jesus is real. And that is the side that you and I need to be on as believers in Jesus Christ, no matter the situation you find yourself in the world that we live in today. So I encourage you to cling to Him. Be encouraged. Hang on. There will be better days to come. And all of God's people said,